to the rest of his body as possible. Leaning forward, he positioned the point of the knife over his foot. He closed his eyes and pushed. He let out a long groan while pulling out the knife, then he quickly repeated the motion on the other foot. He tried to block his mind from the searing pain, directing his thoughts instead to the greater good that would come from this act. Turning his left palm upward, he held the back of his hand against the ground to steady it. The knife found its mark in the middle of his lifeline. He must act quickly, not knowing how rapidly he would bleed out or if he would lose consciousness. He transferred the hunting knife to his left hand, opened his right hand, and stuck the blade into his palm. There was only one thing remaining to do. Sunday, October 4th. Chapter 1.
You look pretty, Mom.
Facing the mirror, Eliza stared at the reflection of the child standing behind her in the middle of the bathroom floor. Janie was wearing her soccer uniform. One knee sock was bunched around her thin ankle, dirt smudged both her knees, and more wisps of brown hair sprang free from her ponytail than were caught up in it. Her cheeks were still slightly flushed from running up and down the school field. Turning, Eliza bent and kissed her 7-year-old daughter on the top of the head. "Thank you, sweetheart." Eliza held herself back from gathering the child in her arms and holding her close. It was a familiar urge now, the desire to hang on to Janie and not let go. Almost 3 months since the kidnapping, and Eliza still woke up in a cold sweat many nights. How close she'd come to losing her only child, the daughter whose father had tragically died before she was even born, the little girl who was at the center of Eliza's world.
"I want to come with you," said Janie.
"I wish you could, honey, but it's a party for adults. There won't be any children there."
"But Valentina and Innes would want me to come," insisted Janie, hands on hips. "They like me. When we went to their house that time, they said I could come again anytime I want."
Eliza turned back to the mirror and picked up a tube of mascara. "I know they did, and we will go there again. Remember I told you about the little house we've rented near the Wheelocks? Our lease starts next week. I'm sure we'll be able to visit Valentina and Innes when we go up there on weekends." Janie's expression brightened.
"Can we go in the birdhouse?"
"It's called an aviary, Janie, and I think that can be arranged."
"You know, they have a bird in there that talks," said Janie.
"A parrot?"
"Uh-huh. Innes showed me, and it can tell you what it likes."
"Really?" asked Eliza as she put gloss on her lips.
"Yep. It says sun and air and grapes. It likes to eat grapes."
"You'll have to show it to me," said Eliza. Mollified, Janie followed her mother as she walked into the bedroom, went to the closet, and took the jewelry case from the wall safe. "Which ones should I wear?" Eliza asked, as they sat side by side on the bed. "The pearls or the garnets?" Janie considered carefully before answering.
"The dark red ones," she said decisively. "They're the color of your dress."
"Good choice," said Eliza, fastening the stones to her ears. She stood, slipped on her heels, and took a last look in the full-length mirror.
"What kind of party is it, Mom?"
asked Janie as they left the bedroom and went down the stairs.
"A birthday party?"
"Not exactly," Eliza answered. "It's a party to celebrate the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi."
"Are you bringing him a present?"
Eliza laughed. "No, sweetheart. He won't be there. St. Francis died a long time ago."
"Then why are they having a party for him?"
"Valentina and Innes want to celebrate his spirit. St. Francis was a very good and holy man who did many things to help many people and animals in his lifetime. He's the patron saint of Italy. And when Valentina and Innes lived there, they became very